Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Hi, it's Nick. We're approaching the quarter point of the season, and that's usually where a lot of fantasy players near the bottom tend to throw in the towel because they think they're out of it. Well, I'm here to tell you that's wrong. And I think that's one of the most underrated skills required to compete in fantasy baseball, that being patience. Well, that and the ability to explain to attractive women that fantasy sports is actually cool. You're not out of it. As bad as your hitting may have been in April, it could go on a tear at any time. Sure, if it's August and you're in the bottom third, it's a different story, but not at this point of the year, so chin up, come on. So today's podcast will focus on strategies to help turn around your season. First up, back from his time being captive in Stephen King's Maine Lodge, it's the guru. He'll help us jam or cram some Sagnoffs to help you in the save and steal department. By the way, if you don't know what a Sagnoff is, you really need to check the glossary at Razzball.com. Get on it. It's your homework for the week. Scott, the prospect whisperer, will look at, well, prospects. Maybe there's a minor leaguer creeping around your free agent list who could come on strong and help steer you to a championship. Okay, so there's probably no Mike Trout this year, but maybe there's someone who can contribute, at least a little bit anyway. Plus, prospects are fun to talk about, especially if you really do think you've thrown in the towel. And of course, there's plenty of season left over at DraftKings.com. All that plus Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble will help walk you through some of these season-changing scenarios. It's the Razzball Podcast for the week of May 13th. Here we go. Prospects. And now I am very pleased to be joined by Scott Evans, our own internal prospect whisperer. You can follow him on Twitter at r_ScottE. Scott, when are you going to update that Twitter handle?
Nick, I've been meaning to do it for you, but I just haven't got around to it yet.
Scott, let me ask you a question. If I was in Chicago and I had time to eat one thing at one restaurant, what's it going to be?
If you just have a quick minute, you got to go to an Italian beef. Most people tell you to go to Portillo's, grab a beef and cheddar croissant, but I'm gonna go for a Bona beef. If you can find a Bona restaurant, grab an Italian beef with hot peppers. Can't go wrong.
Funny, Italian beef was actually my nickname in college. So, Scott, we, of course, are talking prospects with you. The theme of today's podcast is we're only at the quarter point of the season. Don't throw in the towel. There's a lot of baseball that can happen. So we'll talk a couple prospects that, A, might be able to contribute this year, but also for the guys who are really down and crying in their beer. What's a good beer in Chicago, by the way?
Oh, you got to go Goose Island. 312 is my beer of choice out here. So if you're coming to town, and it sounds like you might be, Nick, you got to go for a Goose Island 312. Anyway,
Chicago is high on the priority list right now.
So let's start with Billy Hamilton, because this is a prospect who's had an off year and a real slow start, but he's starting to turn the corner lately. He's on a 5-game hitting streak right now. His line on the season is 222, 281, 333, just 19 stolen bases through 33 games. So, I mean, that's way off of last year's pace. Basically, the big thing here is his walk rate is way down. Last year at AA, he had 17% walk rate. This year, his base on ball percentage is just 7.5% at AAA. If he can start reaching base more, get his bat heated up a little bit, he's going to come back around. And you know what? The Reds could really use him. They're in trouble in the outfield.
Let me ask you a quick question. I'll put you on the spot. Give me a statistical odd. So what are the odds Billy Hamilton only becomes an Eric Young, D. Gordon, really fast, but doesn't become a regular contributor in the lineup?
You know, I put that below 50%. I think that his defense is going to be utilized in center field, and he's going to be a top of the order bat. Just his on base skills generally throughout his career have been very good, and that bodes well for his pro career. Big in the big leagues, I think he's going to be a useful guy for the Reds. He's going to be more useful for your fantasy team than a guy like D. Gordon.
Okay, I'm going to jump around a bit on your list here because there's a guy I want to talk about because I think out of the guys that we will discuss today, he might be the most likely to contribute this year, and that's Nick Franklin with the Mariners.
Right on. Nick Franklin, I mean, he's had his ups and downs the past few years, but he's looking better than any other year at this point. He's hitting .349, .466, .538 with four homers and five stolen bases through 29 games at AAA Tacoma. His approach has improved vastly, and that's the important thing to take here. Last year, he was walking at a rate at 8.1%. This year, he's up to 17.4%. Last year, he striked out about a quarter of the time he went to plate. This year, it's only down to about 12%. So Franklin's looking good. He's going to be an impact guy for fantasy. He's going to help you with average. He might even steal a few bases, but don't expect too much in the power department.
The only thing that concerns me with Franklin is that all these Mariners prospects that have come up, Montero, Ackley, Smoke, haven't delivered. I know there's partially ballpark effect, partially the weather there that keeps the ball in the yard. So that is a little alarming to me. So let's shift gears now and talk about a player who we might not see this year, but might be the biggest power bat in the minors, at least from everything I've seen, and that's Miguel Sano, who's in the Twins system.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's any maybe about it. He is the best power hitter in the minors. Pure 80 on the 80-20 scale. He's got 10 homers through 33 games. He's batting .377, .462, .713 at high A for Myers. I'm thinking it's not long before he takes step up to the double A level, and that's going to be the big test where he's going to be facing pitchers who have a deeper repertoires and who know how to sequence a little bit better. He's got a big swing that's susceptible to strikeouts, so if he is going to be exposed, it's going to be at the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. Once some of these guys start seeing breaking balls, that's when you can really get an assessment as to whether or not they'll be able to hit major league pitching.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's talk about the Marlins outfield prospect. Obviously, Marcelo Zuna has come up, and he's hit really well. But I think the real gem offensively in that system, and you know what? I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, so I'll let you introduce him.
Christian Yelich.
Okay.
He's been on fire. He started the season on the DL. He was banged up a little bit. Now he's just finally getting going. His line through his last 10 games at Jacksonville, .432, .532, .946. Now he's slugging .946 through his last 10 games. That's a remarkable number. That's really indicative of a guy who's ready to be playing at the next level. Now, Yelich, he's not a guy who's going to hit 40 homers. He's not a guy who's going to steal 40 bases. But he is a guy who's going to do just about everything for you. I think his ceiling is like something around Matt Kemp, but with a little less speed.
Oh, that's quite the comparison. No pressure.
Yeah, he's quite a bat. He's one of the best pure hitters in the minors. I mean, I put him right in the category with Oscar Tavares and Will Myers.
Now, you can argue that the Arizona Diamondbacks have the best stable of pitching prospects in baseball, and the gem there might be Archie Bradley. Any chance we see him this year?
You know, I've been thinking about that, and I do think it's a possibility. He started at high A. They gave him five starts at Dahlia in the California League, which is a notorious hitter-friendly league. And the numbers he put up through those five starts are 1.26 ERA, 1.12 whip, 13.5 pays per nine, and then the Diamondbacks decided that was enough, so they bumped him up to double A, and so far it's been more the same there.
All right, give me just a yes or no on these. Are we going to see a yes or no, will these following guys have an impact this year? That means, are they rosterable in fantasy? Oscar Tavares, yes or no?
Yes.
Will Myers from Tampa.
Absolutely, yes.
Profar.
I'll go with a softer yes on Profar.
Okay, then who would you rather have, Tavares or Myers, rest of season?
I think I'd rather have Myers at this point. He's more of a sure thing to come up. They're waiting for the Super 2 deadline. I'm not sure how they've got a model calculating it, but they're going to come real darn close to it. I'm thinking something around July 1st, Myers will be up, and that's more of a sure thing to Tavares' arrival.
Scott, last question. What do you think about the proposed renovations to Wrigley?
You know what? I think it's exciting. I love watching games at Wrigley Field. It's one of my it is my favorite place to watch a ball game. I've been of the school of thought that the Cubs need to get out of Wrigley before they can really take steps forward. But if all of these renovations take hold and are they bring the facilities up to some of the modern ballpark, I think the Cubs can really do well with it.
But you're not going to move them. I mean, they have to stay at Wrigley. It's just to what extent the renovations take over, right? I mean, they can't move from Wrigley.
That's the mindset around here. But I don't. Well, why can't they move? I mean, they could move to the north suburbs. That's where their season ticket holders are coming from anyway.
All right, fair enough. Scott, can you do me a favor? Can we work on your Twitter handle? Because people talk to me about prospects all the time. We got to get you more followers because you are so plugged in. But I think the problem is your Twitter handle. So let's work on that.
Okay, what should it be?
Man, I don't know. Maybe Italian beef? No, that's taken. All right, Scott, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, Nick.
The Razzball Podcast. Back from being held captive in a log cabin somewhere in the Maine interior.
Yes.
The Guru, at The Guru GS. It's good to have you back, buddy.
Nick, how are you?
I'm fantastic. We were worried about you because there was all kinds of rumors about abduction, and we were getting strange emails sent to the office, so we were genuinely concerned for you, Glenn.
Well, here's your guru. I am back, and I'm ready to jam it or cram it.
Well, let's get to the jamming or cramming right now. Quick question, though. When does lobster season start in Maine?
That's a great question. I think lobster season is pretty much year-round, but it's it's happening right now. But, you know, you got to have a boat, you got to have waders, and you've got to have a crew of big, burly men that have maybe 8 teeth between them.
That sounds like Gray's house.
You know, they don't call Maine the deep south of the far north for nothing. Woo!
Okay, Guru, by the way, you have changed your Twitter handle. You are now at The Guru GS. Guru, talk to me about, are we jamming or cramming Heath Bell?
Oh, man. This one, really, I'm so torn about. All right, I threw him in the jam category last week because I'm one of those guys that when I'm drafting teams, you know, I go by that Sagnoff philosophy that, saves and steals, whatever. I'll pick them up as they go along. So I grabbed Heath Bell last week, and I got 3 saves out of him, and then he blew a save last night. And I am just about I'm done with him. What I've done is I stashed David Hernandez because I think he's going to be the guy that's going to be closing out games for the D-backs.
Agreed.
And I would think 20 saves from Hernandez the rest of the way, and that's that's on the low side of an estimate.
With Sterling ERA and WHIP as well.
Oh yeah, Hernandez is going to give you. He's going to give you strikeouts. He's going to give you a good whip, and I think he's a guy that you definitely want on your team.
Okay, next up, are we jamming or cramming Jose Veras?
Jose Veras, Houston Astros. Why would you want an Astro on your team?
Because someone's going to close the games.
Because you need some saves, and someone's going to close out those games. And I'm thinking this guy's going to have 26 saves on the season. I mean, his WHIP is 1.14 right now, I think, around there. His ERA is high, but you got a guy with 14 innings pitched on the year, and he's got 16-plus Ks. The guy can get it done. And if you've lost out on someone like Kevin Gregg with the Cubs or Tozawa with the Sox, I would roll the dice on Veras before I'd go with Heath Bell.
Okay. No, listen, I absolutely I agree with you on that.
Let's jam it.
That was a long way of me saying agreed, so let's jam them. Okay, next up on the list is D. Gordon of the Dodgers. You jamming or cramming, Mr. Gordon?
I'm happy to see that D. Gordon is finally getting a chance to play with that team out there in Los Angeles. And, you know, I pay attention to the Dodgers out there because we as a Red Sox fan, we sent all our crap out their way.
Yes, you did.
So I pay attention to the team, and I'll tell you, D. Gordon, if you're looking for steals, this is a guy you got to get. He's got 3 steals in 7 games with him. He's hitting .280. What, he hit a homer? He hit a homer the other night, so he's not too far behind Adrian Gonzalez with home runs. And if I'm right, last year in about 90 games, he had 32 steals or so. So this guy, he's got speed, and he'll help your team if you're looking for steals.
All right, we're talking Sagnoff. So
let's jam him.
Yeah, absolutely, we're jamming him. Talk to me about Juan Pierre.
Juan Pierre. Now, here's another team that, you know, when you think of the Miami Marlins, you think, I don't want anybody that's on that team. But Juan Pierre is a guy that I've picked up because all he does is steal bases. I mean, he's the active leader in steals for guys playing right now. He stole his 600 base recently, and he's 12 of 14 on the year. His career, he's 84% getting a stolen base, so if you're looking for steals, if you're following the Sagnoff philosophy, Juan Pierre is a guy that you definitely want, and I'm going to jam him.
All right, so we're jamming everyone today except Heath Bell, correct?
Exactly.
All right. Hey, Guru, so...
Oh, Heath Bell just tripped over his cat, and he's on the DL.
Do you know that you can actually order fresh lobster online and from Maine, and they ship it anywhere in the United States?
Yes, that's absolutely true. They'll pack it in ice, and they'll send it to you, and the $5 lobster will cost you about $8,432.
It's worth it. What else is Maine known for other than being the state often most mistaken for being a Canadian province?
and for being the deep south of the far north?
That's, you know what, actually, you know what, you may have just hit it on the head right there. That might be the call of the day.
That's exactly what we're known for. Moose?
You are like Canada, see?
Yeah, we're a lot like Canada.
All right, Guru, listen, we appreciate you joining us. Again, you can always read his Jam It or Cram It column at razzball.com if you have Jam It or Cram It questions. And also, too, just in case you're not down with the lingo, we're talking buy, sell, you can interact with him on Twitter at TheGuruGS. Thank you so much, Guru. We'll talk to you soon.
Definitely. Look for me on Twitter. I do a daily Jam It or Cram It of who you can stick in your roster, and I appreciate being on the show.
We'll talk to you soon, Guru.
Thanks a lot.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. Of course, you can follow them at DraftKings on Twitter. So if you haven't been paying attention or have just started tuning into the podcast, which it's about time, thanks very much for joining us, you might not be aware of the fun we've been having with the guys over at DraftKings.com this year. DraftKings are the kings, literally, of daily fantasy, which is the best way to get your fantasy fix on a daily basis without the headaches of injuries or bad draft choices. So again, we've been talking about throwing in the towel this year. There's a lot of season left, but if you really are out of it, you can still play fantasy on a daily basis at DraftKings.com. With Daily Fantasy, you enter a contest based on that day's games. So if you drafted Stanton or Roy Halladay for your regular team in March, you're not dealing with trying to fix those problems today. So you can just focus on today. Of course, you can also use the great tools like the Streaminator at razzball.com, which is a great cheat if you're playing at DraftKings.com. Now, there's a massive, huge, really big contest going on at DraftKings.com this week. Again, it's huge. It's the Spring Fling. It's this Friday, May 17th. It's as little as $11 to get into the $100,000 contest. The top prize is $20,000, and the top 250 players get paid. So there's a lot of money in that pool, obviously, so go and get your slice of it. If you want to get into the action in a smaller way, you can get in for as little as a dollar again in these daily games. Don't forget, too, our own Big Biscuit, JB Gilpin, is always available on Twitter at JB Gilpin, G-I-L-P-I-N, to interact with. He's also our DraftKings.com expert. So if you want tips on who to start on a daily basis, talk to my man, JB. You can also take on Rudy Gamble every Friday night in the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. Again, it's only for Razzballers. By the way, is that what we're called anyway? Razzballers? Razzball Nation? Might need a name the Razzball Nation contest. I'm going to bring that up with Gray. Anyway, JB writes an article midweek every week with the players to watch for in the contest, and it always links to the contest site. If you want to find it really quickly, just go to razzball.com. In the search box, just look up DraftKings. It's only $5 to get in for the Friday night contest. More than half the gamers win their money back. Plus, Rudy's never won, so basically you get to kick sand in his face every week, and you can also tell your friends and family that you're better than this so-called expert, and you should have your own website. Really, get on that. Thanks for keeping our fans delusional, DraftKings.
The Razzball Podcast.
It's now time for the height of the podcast. It is a pleasure, as always, to be joined every week by Rudy Gamble and Gray Albright. Gentlemen, welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it.
Yo.
You okay there, Mumbles?
Yo, what's up? I think, I don't know. There's some talk in the comments about us having too much small talk, so I was going to skip hellos today.
Okay, let's get right to it. One quick question, though. Did the Cougar ever find the lost engagement ring?
I think the part about the small talk was the Cougar talk.
Okay. All right, let's get right to it. So a lot of people have been asking me questions like, Nick, I'm in X place.
Oh, hold on a second. There was on the other side of this coin was that what happened with the theme song at the end of the podcast? How come we didn't have that anymore?
Well, that's just because we're trying to make the file a little bit smaller. But hey, we can make that happen.
There's people on both sides. Some want small talk and some don't.
You know what?
But they all want the theme song. Everyone.
Hey, speaking of which, the Razzball House Band, Symphony of Nine, have changed their name.
Did they lose someone or did they add someone?
The Razzball House Band now?
No, they are now.
Give me what's the band name that I can download their songs illegally? What is it? Give me the band name.
Symphony of Nine, but now they're known as Hot with two T's, Hot Kiss.
Oh, wow. That's sexy.
That sounds sexy.
Yeah. The second T is what makes it.
You know what? That's what adds the sexiness.
Now, is there a third S in Kiss?
They had so much feedback that the part of the song where it's, and you're about to orgasm, they were so excited about the feedback they received from that, and Moises Alou peeing on himself.
Classic lines.
Yeah. I always thought they should. It makes sense to change their name. Nine people in a Canadian band is too small. You're giving it away that they're not a real band. You have to have at least like 12. I think Arcade Fire brings like, I think they have like nine people just sitting on the stage playing, like hitting two sticks. They don't, not drumsticks, just two sticks they pulled from Canadian forests.
It's funny because it's true. Kyle, the producer's just in there agreeing.
I love Arcade Fire, by the way. Did I tell you I saw the lead singer of Arcade Fire? Saw him. I was right next to him. I could have touched him, but...
But you held back.
That's creepy. It's Austin. We respect, you know, we respect musicians. We don't kind of get all fanboy on
them. To bring me back in, is Arcade Fire like the Wu-Tang Clan of rock music?
They're more like...
No, I think Monsters of Folk are like Wu-Tang Clan. They're like the whitest version of Wu-Tang Clan possible.
They come from the Shaolin of Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start talking fantasy baseball. Cut out the small talk. The theme today in the podcast is we're almost at the quarter point of the season. It's too early to throw in the towel because really, it's been a quarter of the season. Anything can happen. But I get a lot of questions now of, I'm in X place and I'm last in Y, so what should I do? And I don't want to make this, you know, an algebra conversation. So I'll use some examples. Rudy, let me throw one to you first. Your hitting has been fantastic and you're near the top, but your bullpen's a mess. So even though you never want to pay for saves, would you be willing in a situation like this
to give up a top flight hitter for two established closers? Maybe something like a Carlos Gonzalez for Jim Johnson and Wilhelmsen.
No. I mean, I would. What I'm looking for is, it depends on the league first. So if you're talking 12 team, I'm going to stay aggressive and not give in yet to get the saves. We're in like 15 team leagues where we have no saves. That gets more desperate, especially if you have weekly pickups. What I'm looking to do is trade probably a hot hitter, maybe a slightly overrated hitter. Try to go one for one. In a position that I could afford, where I have depth and I could afford to replace.
Okay, but what if the market won't allow you to do that right now and you're so far behind in saves that you've got to play catch up?
I'm still not going as far as, you know, I mean, like, if I'm going to trade Cargo, we're talking about, I need a Kimbrel plus Wilhelmsen.
Okay. Gray, let me throw that to you. What would you do in that situation?
I'd go for cheaper saves. I'd go for a guy like maybe Perkins at the best, maybe at the worst. Throw, you know, some cheap fifth outfielder for someone who has, say, Kevin Gregg or hope for Dawa keeping the Red Sox job or something. I'd go for like a real bottom of the barrel type guy. Hoping that I get someone real cheap and I still get maybe 15 to 20 saves. I wouldn't go for a Kimbrel or a Jim Johnson with any. I wouldn't trade away a top hitter for a top closer.
Okay, great. Let me give you another scenario then. Your average is in the toilet. Let's say your best players at this point in the season. What are the best plays at this point in the season? Would you trade a hitter of similar value on the player rater, acquiring average, but giving up, you know, something valuable like home runs? So if you were desperate for average, would you trade an average suck like Napoli to get an Altuve? Let's put positions aside for this.
All right. I think you're going to be chasing the wrong thing if you're going after average. It's real difficult to really secure something that is such a fluky stat as it is. I mean, 1 year, Napoli hits 320, the next year he hits 240. Granted, he is more of a 250 type hitter, but it's still, you're trading away something that you may not be getting back what you expect to get back, whereas power is something you can count on. Now, with that said, if you have a low average guy like Ike Davis and Chris Carter and everyone else on Rudy's RCL team, and you're looking to trade one of those guys for someone like Michael Brantley, who is on my team, then we might be able to work out a deal.
Okay,
Wow, that's the worst subliminal trade try ever. My take on that is similar to Gray's, except probably I could say it more lucidly. It depends. Like, there's a difference between a guy hitting 220 and a guy who's really a 220 hitter. So if a guy is a truly low average guy, strikes out a ton, let's say B.J. Upton, he's not going to crack 250. He needs a lot of luck to do it because he's just K-ing a ton and he hits fly balls. I don't see a problem in going one for one versus a guy who should be a better average hitter. I think it's just looking at, you know, the things have to balance out. So I wouldn't mind trading a all power, no average guy for a guy who's balanced. I don't want a average. I don't want a Polanco, but someone like a Martin Prado, or Altuve is a fair example. Except I think he'll, you know, because he has the speed, he's a little tougher to get.
Okay, let me throw another scenario to you, Rudy. Let's say you're having early season ERA or WHIP woes, but let me give you some options here. Are you better off, A, streaming low K but really good WHIP starting pitchers, B, carry more relievers with good ratios, or C, hope and pray?
You know, I'm in both. I've got some really bad ERA WHIP teams right now and some that are pretty good. In all cases, I'm looking at the relievers, especially daily. So Yeah, I've got Robertson in a few leagues, Jansen where I could have him, Jared Burton I've been picking up. So I'm a big believer in the relievers to help on ERA, WHIP, and extend your Ks. I think it's kind of like with average and looking at the teams. Like, we've had a team in our friends and family league with Yahoo that has awful luck with ERA, WHIP. I think we got burned on a stream or two, and then just guys like Estrada, Nice, just guys that have Ian Kennedy's one that are just had a bad April and May. I don't want to overreact in those cases. You know, trim the starters who are just dead weight. I'm not looking at streaming isn't going to help you on ERA WHIP. It'll help you on K's, wins. It's, you know, but the pitchers you're looking at aren't generally going to help. Maybe if there's something just staring at you, a great matchup, I'll take it. But I think that's always the case.
Okay, Gray, what are you going to do if you've got a sloppy ERA and WHIP? Same type of strategy?
B.
Okay, you're going to carry more relievers with good ratios.
Yeah. How is that for succinct, motherfuckers?
I'm just really excited that Rudy was able to work the lucidity into the podcast. It makes me feel more intelligent by association. You got to remember, too, guys, usually I've got, like, Smokey on the line and stuff, and all we're doing is making bong sound effects. So it's really a step up for me.
Yeah.
The Red Man Method Man. I should be on that segment. Why are you not going there? I would go with Rudy's thing. I think the problem with ratios is you're going to you're better off going for starters who actually help in WHIP, and a guy who, like, a reliever's great if you hold them for 50 to 60 plus innings. If you're just picking them up for like one day and then you're dropping them 3 days later, then he's not really going to do much for your ratios. You're just you're just shuffling around people.
Okay. Well, Gray, what if you have no K's? What if you really misjudge the strikeout market going into your draft? How can you remedy that at this point?
I did.
Wait, isn't your RCL last in K's?
Yeah. I have this scenario. The RCL team I have right now sucks for K's. I have, I had Estrada, I dropped him. I had Nice, who sucked giant flaming orange cocks coming out of the back of Carlos Quinton's ass. I had Greinke, who's coming back. So, yeah, I have this exact scenario. I think the innings pitched with K's, I'm definitely last. Fortunately, to remedy that situation, I sort of pulled a lot of my starters and just decided that I wasn't gonna try and chase K's, and I went for trying to maintain my ratios until Greinke returned, and I also traded for David Price.
Okay,
I gave Machado and Perkins for David Price. So now I'll have Price and Greinke this week with going forward with a bunch of, Kendrick and I forget who else I have, but other guys that I won't necessarily hold on my team for longer than a couple weeks. I think if you want cheap K's, you can go for like a guy like AJ Burnett or Dempster, and you can get relatively cheap K's from Lincecum or Jose Fernandez. Roberto Hernandez, really cheap K's right now, and H. Young Jin Ryu.
Okay, sorry, great. What was that trade? You got Price for Machado and?
I got Price and Daniel Nava for Machado and Perkins. I've already dropped Nava. He wasn't really the point of the trade. I was just trying to get David Price. So I gave Sagnoff and Machado. It hurt a little bit with the Machado one, but earlier in the week I had given I got Beltre for Chu. So I was now I had a third baseman with Beltre, so Machado became a little bit of an excessive piece because I also have Arenado and Moustakas.
Okay, good stuff. Listen, gentlemen, just for the sake of time, I want to get into some sell high or buy low. So what I'll do, I'll give you each a list. Give me a keep or trade, and we can expand on one or two. But just for time here, Rudy, would you sell high on any of the following guys, or are you going to stay the course on Paul Goldschmidt?
I'm staying the course.
Segura.
I'd ride that out, yeah.
Patrick Corbin.
I'd sell it, you know, a decent price.
Carl Crawford.
Yeah, if someone's willing to offer me, you know, assuming he has power now, yeah, I'll take it.
Josh Donaldson.
Oh, yeah, I'd sell him if anyone will get, I don't have him anywhere, but if I had him, I'd sell him.
Did you want to elaborate on any of those guys, Ruth?
You want to elaborate?
No, I was just asking. No, I was just seeing if there was anything to either. I guess you brought it up with Crawford.
Oh, no, I think the case is like...
You used all your crossword words earlier in this podcast. You don't really elaborate?
All right, great. Do you have any big arguments with his comments there?
No. I mean, as always, it's a matter of what you're buying and selling for. But I agree with what Rudy said for all those guys. I think the Corbin, I wouldn't sell necessarily like for really cheap. I think there might be something there, but I definitely explore offers. Goldschmidt I love and Segura I love.
Okay, Gray, would you buy low on any of the following? You're going to notice here there's a Blue Jay trend. Would you buy low on R.A. Dickey?
No.
Brett Laurie?
Yeah.
Brandon Morrow?
Nope.
Yovani Gallardo?
No.
Okay, why Laurie?
I think you could still give 17 to 20 homer season with about 10 steals without having a miserable average. I still have some faith in him. He's young. He's a bat. I'm always more willing to buy a bat unless the pitcher is really proven. And with R.A. Dickey, I think the knuckleball is just so unpredictable. I don't trust it. I think Rudy earlier this week or last week or something said something like, you know, Dickey could give 15 wins or he could lose 15 games the rest of the way. There's no way of knowing. It's really hard to say with Dickey. Brandon Morrow, I think there's something wrong. It might be an injury. It might be something else. His Ks are way down. His walks are up. His at least last year, his walks were down. So there's something up there. And Gallardo, I feel the same way. I think there's something wrong because his velocity is down and his Ks are way down.
All right, Rudy, you want to comment on any of those guys? I know you got a hard-on for Dickey.
Yeah, I mean, Dickey's one that at this point you might be able to get so cheap that it could be worth the flyer. It would probably be a team where I'm maybe a little desperate for Ks. But, yeah, I mean, he's not throwing the knuckler as hard as he was last year. I mean, it's like he was throwing in the 80s, so I can't imagine it's like some big shoulder issue. But Dickey, I might take a gamble on, but it'd have to be cheap. Laurie, it's tough. I mean, I like him, but I don't know where my team would need to be that I would gamble on him. I'd probably gamble on him if you know, I've got a hole at third base. But otherwise, I'm not really sure where you play him. I mean, a 12-team league, there should be an, you know, to me, I don't think he cracks the top 12 right now. And as a corner infielder, not sure either. So maybe on a team with a injury-prone third baseman, like a Zimmerman, where I kind of want to have another third base in the ready. Yeah, on generally starting pitchers, it guy's got to have a really good track record for me to gamble on him. Gallardo doesn't have a bad one, but he's just killing us in two leagues. I couldn't take another Gallardo, but it might be a good buy low candidate if I haven't looked to see if he's really lost something on his fastball or breaking pitches. Morrow, last year's injury scares me. I'd pick him up in the free agency, but that's it.
Okay, guys, real quick vote, just yes or no. Do we put the Razzball Baseball theme song back on the end of the podcast? Rudy, yes or no?
Yes.
Gray.
Yeah, you got to wrap this motherfucker up.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on the Razzball Baseball podcast. You can follow Gray at Razzball. You can follow Rudy at Rudy Gamble. You can follow me at Nick Capozzi. And here we go with their new name, the Razzball Baseball House Band, now known as Hot Kiss. Don't forget, there's two T's in hot, baby.
sarcasm. It's a Razzball podcast. You need fantasy help? Well, you have several choices. Only one joke and yells and I'm already a Moises. You might be yourself just like your name was Moises. It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast. It's a Razzball podcast.